The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we're back, Freedom 106.5 FM. So we do apologize for that little technical glitch there. But as mentioned, we do have Mr. Louis Leasing with us this morning. Good morning, Mr. Leasing. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, great to have you with us today.
Kelly?
Yes, we're hearing you loud and clear.
Fantastic.
All right, so today we'll be looking at Trinidad and Tobago's independence then and now. Firstly, to begin, I'll give you the opportunity to share your thoughts. 2023, celebrating 61st independence. Well, what does this mean to you?
I want to say it's all in world, but I would be this person if I say on this anniversary, I am impacted for the last 20 years. I say that in more ways, our fortunes as a country is intricately tied to the number of votes per annum. And you can plot, if you get a graph, then you will see how Trinidad have weighed and tempted to score, but each time the birds come just above. When I say to other people is that there was a time we had 10 birds, they look at almost in this belief, because to them that can't be. And so on a daily, while everybody I read the tune of the music bands of the military and party and all over and what have you, I will take some time today merely to reflect in a meaningful way and to quote in mind how I, individual, could make such invention that will bring about the kind of transformation that will see this republic. And so when 100 years, there will be some. But the way we go, the way we are going at in this country at this time, in 5 years, at best we will be Venezuela, and at worst we will be Haiti. I make this statement for the umpteenth out of court.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. I think we've come a long way. There's still a long way to go as well. Now, you've had very, very important roles in the landscape of Trinidad and Tobago. Can you recall when the Union Jack would have been lowered and the national flag would have been hoisted? Can you share your experience of that with us?
Well, it is still a little, it is not as sharp as I would like it to be, because I would have been just around 9 years or thereabout my master. And I could say to you, I was on my father's shoulders. I was never a big person in body. Throughout much of the primary school, called me Little Louis. And I was pushed up above his shoulders at Woodford Square. We lived about 2.5 blocks on Fedge from Woodford Square, going north to Savannah. That's the opposite effect. And so for us, being part of that whole experience is something that makes it with you. But I guess years have gone by, the glitter of it, and I guess the celebratory nature of it has become less and less to me, largely because of the state of the country. And I think that's the point I really want to hammer home about this morning. But it was really a celebration recollection. The place was down. And Woodford Square had become something ground for the then Prime Minister, Dr. Eric Williams. He was premier at that is where he did a lot of his political education of the masses. I make no bones about it. Before William, Trinidad, political education limited to standpipe politics. He brought to it some measure of discourse. He discussed the issues. He explained to people why we are where we are. And that was in his infancy. I think not too long after, he began to lose, I would say, 66. He began to lose of his shine. And we found ourselves in 70. And that is of Black Power. So that I'm sort of this to say to you, for me, I do not separate independence from any aspect of national life. The words discipline, tolerance, and production, if we lived it at all, we would have law and order, a very productive society, and we would certainly but be a people, despite the ethnic and religious differences, would still be able to speak to each other, love and affect, and mean it. We might have been independent in 1962, but we have never had a nation in Trinidad and Tobago. We are really groups of individuals without any real love, care, affection for Mother Trinidad and Tobago. We come here, we care, we try to take much out of it as we can. We strangle Mother Trinidad and Tobago in pursuit of our own individual goals and objectives, not recognizing that without Mother Trinidad and Tobago, we are limiting our choices in so many ways. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to go on and on because I something I can give a first.
Yeah, I see what you're saying because you know that sense of patriotism seems to be fleeting. You know, it happens sometimes and then it just sort of dissipates. What do you think can be done to perhaps remove the level of I guess divisiveness that exists, and something that can be done to really instill this love and this passion for Mother Trinidad and Tobago?
I think we have gone past the two political parties that exist today, the two main political parties, have failed miserably in bringing the nation together. It might be that we have not yet found right leader. It might be while we have fought, we have taken the chance and chances on past sin leaders, we hope that we would get, as it were, kind of leadership that is required to shake the nation from by its neck. A leader has got to come along and be man or woman enough to hold the nation by its neck and shake that body and say to that body, we will accept nothing short of Mother Trinidad and Tobago. And in meaning Mother Trinidad and Tobago, it means that wherever you stand in the Republic, on that 12-inch of land, whether you live in Cedras, Ikakas, Soko, Manzalina, wherever you live, you must know that that piece of land that's upon which you stand belongs to you, and that it's your responsibility to take care of that land. What we have in Trinidad and Tobago are people, when they stand on a piece of land, they try to bore holes in the land to see what they could get out of it. We've got to start to find ways and means to say, no, this is my land. This is my home. This is my nation. This is my republic. And I must do whatever I can to make it a better place. Many of us make the sacrifices and seek and consistently make commentary and do things in the realm, whether it be politics or public life, and you're often beaten up for it. And many of us retreat I am not one of those. I have always taken the position that the only time I will reach from seeking to make this a better place is when I am no longer a part of the physical landscape in Trinidad and Tobago. And at this time, no plans going in. So you all will have to stop with me for a long time in Trinidad and Tobago. You may not agree with the things that I say or do, but I ask you, the only reason I say to you, the only reason why you do not agree with the things I say and propose is because you have closed your mind, have not taken time to listen. Wherever I hear a good suggestion, and there are good suggestions coming at times, from even the wanting we have in the country, I smile and I say, well, maybe they will make another good thing. But I am always disappointed, because the next time I speak, it's the same garbage, gibberish that they speak. I something must have gone wrong in Trinidad, particularly in the past 15 years, that could produce leaders who simply do not understand what is the assignment at this time. The assignment at this time is not to divide and to make statements that will divide. The assignment at this time is to find common solutions to the criminality, the corruption, which seems to be the axis from which so much evil permeates. But to ask them to do that would be ask them to become all honest people in this country.
Yeah. You spoke quite a bit. We do have to take a break, though, to Mr. Lee Singh at this point, and we'll continue with our discussion right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, of course, and you could also interact with us 627-3223, 625-2257, and your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we're back, Freedom 106.5 FM, with Mr. Louis Lee Singh on with us. And we're taking a look down memory lane and also looking forward as we celebrate the 61st independence of Trinidad and Tobago. Now, Mr. Lee Singh, back then you would have been a young man, a young individual in Trinidad and Tobago. What would have been some of the hopes and aspirations that you had for Trinidad and Tobago back then? And have those expectations been met today?
Back then, I would say that Trinidad was much more tolerant. It was a place where we really looked out for each, regardless of race, color. We looked out for the community. But we took that for granted. And in taking it, we never worked creating it and enhancing it, building upon it. In fact, we did dismantle. And so that too is what I really look forward to as a young man. In a sense, I am no different than any others. I also pursued my own personal objective, whether it was to expand my knowledge or to engage things that mattered to me. Remember, as I never pocket money. I operated a little farm backyard of my parents' home, where I always had 40 late Leghorn horn. And I had, by the height of my endeavor, three goats, a ram, and two ewes. And so I sold my I looked after my goats. And ultimately, I enjoyed a reasonably good standard of as a young man without having any shop or anything like that. I made use of space, and this was inculcated by my father, who was a van salesman with Bermuda's business for many years, promoted into the factory, given the dual responsibilities and things like that. So for me, life was always about getting ahead. And I think it's the same for many people. The truth is, some of us get by the end of endeavor and work and having ideas, pursuing the ideas. But many people just didn't get ahead, because by that, the government hand out arrangements where you work very little, but you were guaranteed pay. And so I often wonder whether with the very many incarnations of employment relief programs, whether this country would not have been before had we that very in seeking to build startup factories, whether it's for in the now, for example, we should be creating microchip tests like that. But it is always more difficult for governments to take the hard decisions as against taking the soft decisions. Soft decision is what we do know. And that decision has given rise to all of negatives within our society. Our people really don't know what it is, grassroots, really don't know what it is to work hard. When you see 20 people attending to a piece of grass, 40 feet long by about 3 feet deep, you realize where we are. It is better we give these people meaningful support, and we proceed in another way to deal with that. It can't be unemployment relief is only about giving money. Our unemployment relief must come to mean the development and creation of such programs that would allow people who are enjoying the unemployment relief to grow into sustainable endeavors. That is not now happening.
Well, you see, that's something that's perhaps continues still today, because we do have various sectors of the community and society saying that we have created this sort of dependency syndrome. And unfortunately, we have a society, a lot of the younger ones of today, that want to put out the least amount of work and get the most amount of rewards. What's your take on that?
That is absolutely correct. And it is getting worse and worse, because the more influential you seem to be connected to unemployment relief program. There's the evidence. You can go to, I would bet anyone that I am prepared to, if you bring the registers across the country and you look at them, you will see who are the people leading these programs and what are the conditions under which the very people for whom the programs are designed, what are the benefits they are truly getting from their pay packet.
So is it that these programs are just maintaining the individuals, for want of a better phrase, to just keep them along on this part of perhaps being dependent, as opposed to really being self-sufficient, self-reliant, and independent?
Could you say that again?
Sure. So, like, some of these programs that are, you know, designed to help and empower these individuals, it's just getting them by day to day, as opposed to really empowering them and giving them the ability to really be independent and to really chart a course for themselves. Because are any of those persons able to wean off the system and really, you know, come on their own?
That is absolutely correct. You hit the nail on the head. The programs are in any way creating any long-term sustainability. The programs are no way really value to Trinidad and Tobago. What one is to do with a brush and cutlass. Do you know what's a brush and cutlass? A puya?
Yes, yes.
What one man you do with a brush and cutlass? You now have people doing with tree workers, net, and a number of them just have a rake to rake a tree piece seed. You pass them along Lady Young Road and they're doing that. I kneel in my head, you will see the ridiculousness of the programs that we are spending taxpayers' dollars on. I would want to see these programs translated into something where we are producing things. Those same people, let us give them sewing machines and let us create labels, a lavender label, a mova label, and let us begin to do like Bangladesh and Thailand and these and export clothes. The same shirt that we go and buy in Target and all these Old Navy and all these American stores and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
These are products that are manufactured by the same kind of employees, the nature of the employees you have on the URP project. But the difference is that they are associated with more productive, sustainable, and beneficial programs for the nation. Because when you sell these clothes overseas, when Bangladesh sells and Thailand and what have you sell their clothes overseas, they get foreign which they need. And that is why we need diversity. The government, the government does not cannot listen to the issue of diversity. Because you have a problem that says, they only talk about diversity. What he really means is that he cannot do diversification because it requires measure of organized planning and thinking. Where are the think tanks in this country? The last tank that Dr. Roy had with Dr. Farr was a disaster because here was the thing producing things and they couldn't even get to talk to the on the matters that happened. So I'm saying to you, our problems are as small as the unsustainability of the unemployment relief program, and it is as large as the unthinking of the leaders of the nation. But I want to say people believe that the leaders of this republic cannot work together, and I want to say that is not true. When Dr. assumed office, one of the early things he did was meet with the outgoing prime minister and the leader of the opposition to fix new rates and payments for pension for all parliament. So the question is, what is the pension that is due to the former prime minister and now leader of the opposition? What is the pension that former ministers in the Kamla Prasad that's the government gets versus what is at salaries that the present ministers are getting? And so if they work to fix out things like that, they can work to fix out the little people's business in finding ways and means and more sustainable opportunities for the unemployment sector.
Right. It's interesting, the ease, I guess, of doing parliamentary business and collaboration on perhaps matters that benefit them as opposed to the wider public. But we got to take another break, Mr. Lee Sing. But when we come back, I want to pose the question now. When we come back, we could get your response in terms of things that may have worked well in the past that for whatever reason may have been stopped or adjusted or altered, and that we should probably look at re-implementing in Trinidad and Tobago at this current time. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. We'll be right back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
We're back, Freedom 106.5 FM, speaking with Mr. Louis Lee Sing this morning. And before the break, Mr. Lee Sing, we spoke about the... the question would have been posed to you. What's the response?
let me say, if there are two and teammates and that I believe worked that I didn't do, and best known was that they have more or less disappeared. The question is, first one has to with discipline and education. The education becomes now one and it suffers a whole heap from very poor discipline in most schools. There was a time discipline was so great in Trinidad. We didn't need 30 guards at the gate of our school. Today there's no discipline. There's no law. There's no order in our school. And it has the fact that we have chosen to follow up and introduce thing about corporal. Corporal, to the best of my recollection, worked. The old way worked. The tension, the writing of strokes, contribute to law and order and discipline within our schools. When there is discipline within the school, it is very likely to have discipline within the villages and the community and the country. Because the school is a mirror of what is going on in the larger society. The reason why we have law and order across the region has to do with the fact that we threw out the baby with the bathwater in attempting to follow others in whose society they might have been sufficiently matured to say no corporal. But even as you look to those societies, example, where there's no corporal punishment, we now have fellas in school and shooting up school. We now have fellas angry with in the school coming back next day with a bag full of enough people, what have you.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that in the not too distant future we may end up in a similar situation?
I think we are already here in only on we do have school relate schools and bully beat into consciousness. I've had instance that we beat into unconscious students who are planned with the gangsterism going on in the school. You follow? That had to do with it. And if you ask, another thing because this country to have a lot of stress and grief is the national education system. It makes absolute sense a child long in a car for 3 hours and 3 hours and a just to go to school for 5, 6 work out that. And so whoever it was to scrap the race. I, as well, traveled on from Barataria to Port of Spain regularly, paying $1.30 for a month ticket. It was a little yellow. And you shoot it and you train and to and from. Our schedule was reasonably active. If they said 4, it was leaving at 4:10. So that we dismantled in the hope that we would have a bus system. And I believe the system was to give independence a whole number of by somebody operating from the family and providing good services to a range of people. But it has not worked. Because in short, who got the max charges sold them to collectives. And so you now find having 10 or more. So that defeated the whole question of creating independence. or more than that, it has completely messed up the needs of this country. And we are forever searching for ways means to solve our problems. We had a train in this country that ran from Porter Spain to Grandy. We also had a train system that ran from Porter Spain to San Fernando to Rio Claro. And if you ask me, where are we? In more ways than one, we killed that too. And I could go on and on, but mine is not to hold up the calls that come, because I want to be back on what we have been.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting though, because I think the issues also that you have highlighted or raised this morning, most persons can relate to it. I mean, we see the headlines every day when it comes to the education system, the violence, all of those things, indiscipline as well. With the COVID-19 situation, of course, we had children being home for quite some time. And then when the school system was back to physical class, there would have been perhaps an explosion in terms of violence, not necessarily inside of the classroom, but on the nation's roadways as well. Showing how indisciplined we are. In terms of the transportation system, an interesting point there. A number of persons earlier this morning also spoke about, you know, the train system back in the day and so on. But I know there will also be discussions about the feasibility of it right now, implementing such modern elements of transportation. Can we afford those things? Then what about the amount of demand for it? Or will it be operating like some of the bus services that we have operating with 5 people, and some of the other routes have no space, even standing as well?
And then you regulate the transport, and you put in the area, in those destinations you have just, you would operate not an extra train, but you would operate a train that picks up and drops off. That happens all over the world. The whole question of science of the management or transportation is that is well documented now. As to where from the train, well, boy, we have a very good relationship with China. And we go to China or in and ask them to build the national transportation book and run. So that it was guaranteed, because they would then ensure that we get the very best at the very best price. Whatever rate we have to put in, and that was it. But I know for a fact that China has been building roads and providing trains and what have you all over the world. And the methodology to own it. You own the train, or you own it 20 years, or 50 years, whatever the case may be. But we must be guaranteed highest levels of service. Failing that, we must to our country. Failing that the thing could be returned to the people of Trinidad. There are ways of putting, and I want to. The reason why these things are not being done is because somebody can do anything. One of the reasons why the one thing you see every government is doing is building roads and buildings. Paving roads and building buildings. You know, there's a saying, build bridges even when there is a river. Well, I think that's very peculiar to Trinidad and Tobago.
Interesting. We got to take a final break, and when we come back, Mr. Leasing, I want to ask you, what would you like to see in the not-too-distant future, well, and even further ahead, as Trinidad and Tobago moves to the future, hopefully to better, brighter things? What would you like to see happen as we would celebrate our 100th independence so many years thereafter, 39 years after? So that'll be the discussion when we come back. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. A couple more messages and we'll return with Mr. Louis Leasing.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we're back and getting set to conclude our discussion with Mr. Louis Lee Sing today. So, Mr. Lee Sing, as Trinidad and Tobago celebrates 61 years of independence today, what would you like to see for us if we were to celebrate 100 years of independence? What would be the major accomplishments you would like to see for Trinidad and Tobago?
I'd like to see a republic where all and religious groups are tolerant. I'm not even asking to be united under one roof, but to be tolerant. I'm asked where, as a society, we would be less suspicious of each other. I'm asked society, we would come to recognize the importance of honesty, integrity, nobleness, sincerity, sense of purpose. I am hoping that by the time we make 100 years, in addition to fixing our humanness, which is to say, all the things I have just ascribed, we will also have a republic where the basic necessities of food, clothing, and shelter will be satisfied across the region. I don't want no line or no Bangladesh, no sea lots. I don't want people squatting on the fringes of the Lake Road and the North Coast Road. It is not only dangerous, but what does it say to people who are visiting this country? And this is not many, it's a few people who have chosen to break the law. But equally, it is a number of ministers and local government agencies that have allowed people to break the law. The reason why we have no law and order is because people are not upholding the very laws that are consistent to ensure that there's. So I'm hoping that by the time we reach 100, we will become a society of law and order, where we will dispense with all the gangsterism in the country, be it white collar or blue collar, or just at street level. I'm hoping that we have a report where our schools will not be school buildings, but they will be schools, and a school constitutes a combined and consistent effort of the peers, the teachers, the administrators, and most of all the children. What we have right now is a we versus them scenario where the parents feel, many of the parents, that the teachers are their enemies, and believe you, the teachers are more scared of the parents. I would want to see a society where our police stations mean police stations and not necessarily police buildings. How can the best police station be a police station and every night next door to it, guns are shooting off left, right, and center, and it continues year after year? You notice I ain't say day after day, week after year, thing going on for a long time. So that we've got to stop spending money on building, and we have got to, as it were, focus on institutions. The school must become something that is meaningful to all who are associated with it, as indeed the police station must become invaluable to the community that it serves. When I hear the foolishness that is being promoted in Woodbrook, that they're going to take King George's Adam Smith Square and put on a police station, I spoke and laugh, because I can't believe that there are so many foolish people in this country. There is a Woodbrook station, there's a St. Clair police station, there's a St. James police station. On a track, they might be a mile apart. What we need to do is to be able to bring these three units together and ensure that there is consistent and regular, as it were, police patrols, both on bicycle and on car, to ensure that the law and order on our feet are visible. And I'm saying all of these things to say to you, I am not a scientist of security, but I look at, and certainly when I was there, I also knew one thing that didn't work for this country was that we open bar any day, any time. It is a wickedness on this society. The courts must be brought and know that there must be set opening, closing hours for every drinking establishment and watering hole in this country. Yet, I'm hoping time 100 years come, all of these little things that seem so unimportant are very important. Will be have a death, and we'll have a much more harmonious and happy society. Trinidad is not a happy place. Trinidad is a happy place. Trinidad is not a happy place. I rest my case.
Well said, Mr. Louis Lee Singh. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Freedom 106.5 FM as we celebrate Trinidad and Tobago's 61st independence. Hope you have a great day, the rest of it, and looking forward to discussing more pertinent issues with you again.